recorded live.
Welcome all. Welcome back to another episode of the Household Stress Talk Show for the Married Man. Thank you all for coming. We're going to try to get through this topic without hurting anybody's feelings, but it's going to be a rough one tonight. As Rodney would say, we're going to try to land this plane safely. Topic tonight is loving her is killing me. Wow. Only rule tonight is no profanity. I want to go back to the single stage, the transformation between being single and being married now, and the things that we had to give up. Can I get an amen? I know there are things that we gave up to be married. And I got my list here. Let me run down a couple of them. Then I'll open up the floor. Hold on one second. Going to the club with your boys. Weekend getaways with whoever. Options. Like a quarterback, he's got options. 1, 2, 3, 4. He can throw two. Less debt. Less nagging. Short-term personalities. You're always dating the representative. Beautiful thing. You have the ability to be like Donald Trump and say you're fired. No in-law drama. Lots of sex. Many different ways. Many different people. Exotic things. Fantasies being lived out. The woman is on their best behavior most of the time. And last but not least, not having to ask for permission. Now, can anybody reflect on some of the things that they have to give up? Because some of those things are pretty important to a single guy that just don't happen in a marriage. Now, there's other things that we have to deal with in a marriage. Asking permission may be one of them. Scheduling, more debt, having a budget, trying to figure out how to fit date night into the equation, juggling the kids, juggling work, juggling a lot of things, not being able to hang out with your boys as much, and just some different things that, you know, that the transformation has brought about. But can anybody say anything that they've given up that they enjoy to do when they were single that they don't really get a chance to do now that they're married?
Man, I guess you know, for me, you know, there's some I guess boy hobbies I used to have that I've given up a lot. It's not like you say you can't go fishing anymore, but I don't go fishing as much as often, like I used to. You know, that was a getaway stress reliever for me.
Okay. Now, you take, like, fishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times now when you say, okay, I'm going to go fishing, it's got to be like a family thing.
Yeah, it's like I'm taking the kids and it's no just I'm out. I'm going to take a day off and do my own thing.
Gotcha. But when now you were, because I know that you, since college, where you've been with the same person, so did you really have a chance to have a healthy single life prior to that?
Yeah, I had too much of a single life.
Okay. All right.
Before my wife, who, you know, she didn't kill me. She slowed me down a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had I've been with my wife since I was 17.
That's seven?
And 17.
Oh, 17. Okay.
Yeah, 17. I didn't really have that. You know, I was with my wife, you know, she was my girlfriend, you know, throughout college, and we got married, you know, right after we graduated. So, I mean, I didn't have, quote-unquote, the single life. Like, I still, you know, I had my time with my boys, but, you know, it wasn't, I guess I didn't really give up anything per se, because I was yoked up, bunned up, however you want to call it, you know, from the age of 17, so.
Wow. Yoked up. I guess that's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I understand that. But what about prior to college?
Well, I mean, you know, where I'm from, country, you know, we didn't have a club or, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, my extent of what I could get into was very limited, you know, since I was not, you know, close to any of your major cities or anything. So, I mean, I just had a, I didn't really have no serious girlfriends. I had girls, but, you know, nothing as serious as when I met my wife, so.
Wow.
I mean, I can't really relate to that, but that side either, of where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I gave up. Let me see. A lot of things I like to do that I probably would like to do with her, but it just doesn't happen that way, you know. You know, I've said before, I definitely like to go out, listen to some music, get my party on. But after being married, it just doesn't happen, you know, as much as I would like it to happen, you know. And I think that, you know, it should, because the way it started, like, that's what we did when we were dating, we partied. And I'm not talking about getting drunk and just dumb, but we party. We go to, you know, international clubs, listen to music. We try some salsa. We go hit the reggae. We hit a little hip-hop, everything. And it was great because it took the guesswork out of, you know, who I was going to spend the rest of the evening with or the weekend with, you know. But now it's just different because so many other things come into play, and you have to kind of wait your turn to get those nights again. But let me ask another question. Is it better to be in a a monogamous marriage or being single?
Monogamous marriage.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because, I mean, the one thing in today's day and time is safer. You might catch your death, you know. You know, out there, as my main man Andrew would say, gunslinging. But I mean, it's safer. That's number one. And then it's you still have a little bit of the games, but it's not. It's different kind of games, you know, when it comes to. You know, getting what you want. So, I mean, it's absolutely better. Monogamous marriage is absolutely better than single, because being single is lonely.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
You know, it's cool for a while, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you wish you had somebody to come home to.
Okay, so
and somebody that's going to be there when you get home.
Understood. What about being in a lonely marriage versus being single?
Being a what?
A lonely marriage. Lonely.
A lonely marriage.
Yes.
I
you have someone, just like you said, there's someone there. You all have lost touch with each other. It's just a formality. It's business as usual. There's no nothing. All there is papers and perception at that point.
Yeah, it's just sit down on the couch looking at TV, but not saying anything to each other.
Exactly. How was your day? But don't really care what the answer is. It's just a question.
Yeah, and I've been there. But still, I would say a lonely marriage is better than being single too, because it's drama with being a single guy as well. And at least with the marriage, you know, you can, it's some hope, I guess, the potential to, you know, get back to, you know, how it was before. You know, whereas if you're single, you have to sort of build that,
What? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Did he cut off?
He must have.
Let me check the thing.
Sorry. I'm back.
Oh, you're
what
back.
You say,
you're
sir?
Back. Okay. No. You said when you were single, you had to build something.
Yeah, I mean, you have to build, you know, you got to start from ground zero and you know, out there trying to build a relationship when, you know, you said with the lonely marriage. I mean, all I'm saying is there's some hope that it can get better, whereas, number one, you're single, you got to find a person to get better with, number one. You know, at least in a lonely marriage, you already have that established. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, anybody else on that?
I think if you were in a lonely marriage, that'd be rough.
That's one
call. That's rough, right, man? Good. A lonely marriage.
I think you'd take the single over being lonely any day.
Give
me single.
You got somebody and you still feel alone? Well,
that's rough.
That's rough. That's
yeah,
rough, man.
Because the fact is that
bad,
when you're single, you're making a choice yourself to do that. You can work at being with somebody or you can decide to be by yourself. But when you have no choice.
That's right.
And this person has just got you being lonely, unless you decide to divorce them or just not be there and take a part in it, that's rough. Because one is like a choice and the other is not.
Right. I'm single. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I would love to be married one of these days, you know. However, I'm enjoying my single life also. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not lonely or anything like that. I don't feel alone or you know. That's, I mean.
But you got options, right? I mean, you got some options, right? You can say, tonight I'm going to be a lonely. Or tonight I'm not going to be lonely.
That's right.
When you marry and it's lonely, every night is lonely.
Every night is lonely. Every night. And you sleep in the same bed and you still feel lonely. Wow. That's tough right there.
That's tough. You ever look at and you know all the married guys on the phone. You ever look at your single friends with just a tad bit of envy, just a tad bit, just a smidge, just a pinch of envy.
Good and bad, man. Good and bad. I'm gonna tell you like this: when I was in the military, I was full active. Where I was stationed at, I mean, it's probably like this everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But where I was stationed at. I mean, it was women left and right. It was the ratio just inside the post was like 15 to 1. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's women everywhere. You single and you young, you already know what it is.
Yeah.
You should see the married men who have their wives and their families living with them there, still trying to hang out with single guys. Because just like you said, that lonely marriage, you know what I'm saying? Still feel by yourself. You got problems at home, and you see people who you're leading into battle, perhaps, you know, they out drinking and hanging out and getting the girls and blah, 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 having fun, living it up, and you going home being lonely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Seeing it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's not even that, but you know, you have your single coworkers come in telling their stories of their weekend blow ups of when they just had a crazy weekend, and you're like, and they, well, what did you do? You know, we went to Walmart, had a couple soccer games.
Right.
I'm just saying, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I got to clean out the garage, cut my grass. You know, and they talking about they was in
married man.
Huh?
That's just the daily life of a married man.
Daily life.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I can tell you that's the fact when you start dealing with military, because I was stationed in Japan, and it was crazy over there. You would see married guys get over there, and they would lose their mind.
Lose their
Fine. Because they were trying to hang out with the single guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like
you put that combination together. Yeah. That's like a ticking time bomb.
It is. It's rough. You know, and I think that once we get married, we're conditioned to think that, just like you said, it's life of a married man. But I don't think I honestly don't believe that it has to be that way. There's
it is not.
What you're talking about, sir, is that
I think that your enjoyment changes. You know, like I saw, for example, somebody, posting on Facebook. And, it was actually one of my female friends, and she was like, you know, I've been to Jamaica, I've been, you know, all these places or whatever, but now, you know, I'm getting enjoyment out of going to the circus, going to the zoo, sitting on the couch eating popcorn, you know, with my children. And, you know, I feel the same way. Now, I've been to Bermuda, I've been to, you know, some great places, me and the wife.
Right.
But also, I get enjoyment out of going to the county fair with my kids.
But see,
go ahead.
That's the major thing is that, you know, for those guys that are looking at the single guys and have that sense of envy, it's because there's something missing. When you got that friendship and you have that relationship with your spouse, to where you can go out and do things together and just enjoy each other. There is no room for, you know, looking on the outside going, man, I remember when I used to be like that because, you know, when me and my wife go out, we have fun.
Sure.
You know, we laugh, we joke, you know, it's just, there's no desire to go out and do everything else because, you know, your time has changed.
Good words. Yep. Anybody else? Good words. And I understand that. I understand that because I have that kind of marriage too where we do hang out and do things, you know.
Right.
But there's still limitations to that. Where when I was single, I didn't have the same limitations. And I understand
right.
It does come with the territory, but it's still things that you like to do when you were being yourself. I think that when we were single, we were really being who we are. And now that you're married, you have to compromise and be a new person. You have to be a married person.
Right. But it's a responsibility. From
yes.
what I've been listening to, you know, from all of y'all who are married on this phone call and from anybody who I know that is married, it's a responsibility. It's not just, you know what I'm saying, I mean, it's pretty much a lifestyle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't ready or prepared for it, you know what I'm saying? You still try to live that single man way, and you're married. You don't. What is the slaughter of them pockets?
Right.
Alimony, child support. You know. I mean, if you ain't ready to step up and accept that responsibility when you say I do, then don't do it.
Right.
Period.
It works.
Yeah, but I got a thought, man. I mean. Once you get married, I mean, don't you try to do the opposite of what you know you used to do?
Not really.
Pretty much.
Not really. When you stop and think about it, when you were single, you lived a single lifestyle.
Sure.
Okay, so you done the things that single men did. But when you're married, you live a married lifestyle. You do the things that married folk do. You spend time with your kids. You spend time with your wife. You take care of the house. You do all the things that, you know, that comes with the territory. Same thing.
First of all, man, when you first got married, did you really do that?
Oh,
you were still trying to be you, right? Even though you were married, you still, I mean, at the beginning of your marriage, you were still trying to be you. You know, yeah, I can't go out as much, but I still want to go out a little bit.
It's natural.
That's
though.
A mistake. Yeah, so
that's what's
crazy
about this.
You gotta work up. Go ahead, brother.
Say that I think the part that we're kind of dancing around is when you marry someone, you would think that would open up some new doors, some new opportunities for you to be able to explore who you can become. But it shouldn't be at the sake of you closing off some other doors, especially when it's things that you feel that you are pretty much in a firm control and driving seat of. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think it has to. Yeah, it makes sense. I think it has to. You know, in some respect, like, you know, just the example that, you know, they were talking about before the show started, about getting on the train, going to see the Knicks game. Now, you see, I didn't say, yeah, you know, I want to go because I ain't going. You know, I have no, I mean, I would like to go. Granted, you know, it's great. I think it's a great, you know, hanging out with the boys. But I know my schedule and I know my wife's schedule. And, no, I, you know, and that's, I think you have to close some doors. And that's, you know, again, I know what, as the brother said, I know what has to go on and keep the floor of my household. And, you know, one day or one night, you know, I'm not even home tonight. You know, so that's messing up the flow, but I'm, you know, I'm working. So, you know, anything outside of that, I really have to be strategic, you know, with the going to the game or going, you know, something like that. Well, another example is that, you know, I did go to the Redskins game on a whim, you know, on a weeknight. My friend was in from Atlanta, and he was giving tickets to the game, and he came up and was like, he called, literally, I'm sitting eating dinner, was like, yo, we're going to the game tonight, and we're picking you up. You know, so I'm looking at the wife, you know, it's like a weeknight, and she was like, hey, you know, do your thing. You know, she's like, go have fun, you know, enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gone, so I mean, but I have to be strategic with when I do those things, and, you know, because, I mean, you have to close some doors. Back to your point, you have to close some doors, and that's just how it is. Sometimes that door will be open where you can go hang out, and a lot of times it won't.
Well, to add to that, on top of that, you know, you tend to look at who you hanging out with also.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you may have just stepped out with any of your partners, but if you know you got that partner that's on the prowl every time he's going out, and your wife know how he is, you tend to stay away from that individual so that you do have those freedoms.
Yep. Now, I will say that I don't have no partners like that are getting me into trouble, you know. So, I mean, any of my friends, you know, any of y'all on this phone, it's not – you know, thankfully, that's not the issue. My wife ain't worried about, you know, us trying to snatch something up, you know, do something.
Right.
Got it.
Took a long time for me because my wife knew all my friends, college friends, grew up friends. I had it bad, man.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right.
You know, it was always an argument or attitude. When I'd be like, you know, I'm going to hang out with the fellas tonight. We're going to the game or something. Because she knew it was going to be some drinking. It was going to be some smoking and whatever else was going on. And she just didn't want me a part of that.
Gotcha. Well, here's a question. Now, and Ryan, you brought up a great example of what we were talking about earlier in reference to getting on the train and going to the next game on a whim. Now, we would probably schedule it and then tell our wives, look, we're going. We'll be back when we're going to get back. Right, Patrice?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. It took you a minute. But it's okay. You know, but we should be able as men who already take care of the household, we do it with eyes closed, do what we're supposed to do. We should be able to say, hey, you know what? The Knicks made it to the playoff. Let's get on a plane, on a train and go see the Knicks and come back the same night.
And
it's not like we're saying we're going to go to Jamaica to hedonism.
But I think what you get confused is that, yes, we have the ability, but I think we have the – I don't know. I guess I'll speak for me personally because I can't speak for anybody else on the line. Like, that's great to go to the next playoff game, but I'm not, you know, it's cool, good, you know, time with the fellas, hanging out. But I've gotten to the point where my kids and my wife are the first priority. And guess I'm able, like, yeah, if we scheduled, I'm like, yo, we got tickets to the next game, we're going to the train, it wouldn't be a problem, but I'm not even interested in that, you know, at this point. And maybe that's because, you know, my focus is different.
Maybe because you didn't have it before.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. You're exactly right, brother. You're exactly I didn't, you know, I didn't have, as I said, I've been with my wife. She was my girlfriend at 17. And, you know, and so 16 years I've been with the same woman. So, I mean, the thing, I didn't have that, you know, I'm missing the playoff game. The fella's going up on the train, you know, whatever the case may be. I didn't have it before. So, I mean, I'm different in that case. I'm like, all right, y'all have fun. You know, it's cool. I just read my kids a story and have a good night.
I mean,
you don't know what you're missing.
Exactly. I mean, what about my boys in from town, from out of town, I'm going to go meet them for dinner.
Oh, that's cool. It's a given.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a big old deal. Well, honey, we didn't schedule it. You know, you got this to do, that to do. You got to get up in the morning. Where y'all eating at? How much you going to spend?
Nah, it shouldn't be.
I mean, somebody coming in for dinner, I mean, that's different, you know, because I'll be home. I'll spend $20-$30, you know, which is in the budget. But, you know, so, I mean, it's a lot of factors, you know, with going out of state, you know, the cost, the time, stuff like that. But absolutely, if somebody's in from town, you know, absolutely, that's not a problem at all.
So basically, you know, it's got to be a valid reason. It's got to be like he's only going to be here tonight, so it's valid. I haven't seen him in a long time. That's my boy. You know, that's my boy. Other than, I just want to go and do something out of the ordinary.
Well, yes.
Looking at it from a different standpoint, you'd have to say that as you grow, that maturity level changes and compromise come into effect. Like for me, for instance. You know, I had to work, so I had to go out of town this weekend. And a partner of mine was coming into town. And my wife knew he was coming into town. And it was one of those where I said, you know what, I'm thinking about staying back, you know, for the barbecue when he gets there. And she said, I kind of want to spend time this weekend together. So, you know, I could have said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and stay for the barbecue, and then I'll be home that evening. But instead, you know, it was like, okay, well, you know, that's my partner, but my family is first.
Sure.
So, you know, I headed on back to Maryland, and, you know, when I came home, I was like, I thought you were staying for the barbecue. I said, nah, you really wanted to spend time together, so I decided to come home. And, you know, I called and talked to my partner, and he understood. He's like, you know, hey, you know, you got to take care of the family, so. And it was just the fact that, you know, maybe 7-8 years ago, that wouldn't have been my attitude. But my attitude now is, you know, hey, let me do whatever I got to do, you know, with the family, because that's where my fun is now.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I follow up on that. It's more me than her. You know, the thing about it is that if I wanted to go to the next game, it's not that I couldn't go to the next game. Let me not say that. Like, yeah, go ahead. But more, you know, my thing is hanging out with the fam. And, you know, I'm not supposed to be.
But hold on real quick now.
Mm-hmm.
You both said family comes first, right?
Yes.
And then you just now said hanging out with the family. I don't really know if during the weeknight you're going to be hanging out with the family. I'm thinking it's going to be the regular routine, getting ready for the kids, go to school, getting ready for the next work day. That's what I'm thinking.
That's hanging out with the family.
Okay, okay.
Even if it's 15 minutes, that's hanging out with the family. Even though we're not going anywhere, it's not a big, you know, to-do or anything like that. I mean, that is like spending time with the family.
Okay.
And
I'm going to be honest.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I'll be honest, fellas, I still take time for myself and do stuff for me.
It is.
That's I'm going to be honest with you. I will leave work and send a text message and go watch a movie by myself.
Wow.
And when I get home, I get home.
Hey,
I'm not going to lie to you. I will leave work and be in the car,
you know,
happy hours, and people will call and say, you know what? I'm going to catch up with these people because I know that I'm putting time in and I'm doing things in other places. So for me to step out and do something for myself in order to have that balance, it doesn't mean that I'm less than putting my family first. It's just that I'm understanding that the marriage, personal life balance that needs to happen.
Can I say something about that? There's absolutely positively nothing wrong with that, because every now and then you do have to take that breather to yourself. I mean, even with me, you know, my wife understands that some days I'll come home and I'll jump on my motorcycle and I'll just go riding all day.
You said all
you know, day? Yeah, I'll leave at 10 in the morning and go ride and come back at 6 in the evening.
That's what I'm talking
7
about.
7 in the evening.
Get it,
yeah, you got to do it.
But she knows that when I go out there and I'm riding, that, you know, hey, I don't do it every day. So
right.
It's one of those things where, you know, as a matter of fact, I ain't rode my bike all year. So she knows when I crank it up after I get through this class, I'm gonna hit the road, you know. But I'll be home later on this evening, and after I have my day of riding, you know, it's cool.
Right. You got to get that in. I feel like sometimes when we get on this call, it sounds like we're so willing to just neglect ourselves. I guess that's just the best way to put it.
Yeah, not tonight, brother. Not tonight.
Yeah, I can't do it.
You know, I'm like this. I put my family first, but when I go, like, man, I put my family first, but if I close the door on my office, that means leave me alone. That means it's my time. Don't bother me. When I come out of my office, we can talk.
Right.
Because I got to have my me time during the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it come a time during the day where I got to sit down and read my word or sit down and watch a little football or something. And when I'm done, I come out and we fine.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, you have to do that to maintain a healthy relationship.
Yeah. And I'll say that, you know, that's good words, brothers. But I'll say that this is my outlet. You know, like literally, if I didn't have this outlet, yes, I would be absolutely clawing and scratching, begging and pleading to go to the next game. But you know, on Tuesday, this is where I'm at every Tuesday. I get it out. This is my me time, and my wife knows that. She don't bother me on Tuesday.
That's good.
So I'm good after Tuesday. I'm good. I don't, you know, that's why I don't necessarily. I'm not desiring to go to the next game. It'll be great. It'll be fun. But I'm just like, I'm cool because I just had Tuesday.
Well, Rodney, you can't you can't necessarily miss what you've never had.
Right.
And I'm
that's
all right with it.
Because I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. But the best way is you can't miss what you never had. So there it is.
Exactly. He ain't run the streets. He ain't juggle women. He ain't none of that. He just
had
a girlfriend, a wife,
Square Garden
and kids.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
See, that's a difference.
Yeah.
Like,
it is a difference.
I would love to take my wife to Madison Square Garden during the playoffs. She's never been. But, you know, if I can get a chance to slip in there. Square Garden, man.
Look here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad right now because. You know, the job I have, I get to do, you know, I travel a lot in my job because I work for a university. You know, and I went all the way to Boston the night that Boston was playing Indianapolis and couldn't go to the game. But, you know, I could have went. But when I got there, I was like, oh, man, the basketball playing tonight. For some reason, I just didn't have a desire to go. And I don't miss basketball. It was like, oh, well, I'll just sit back here, relax, call the wife, so I have thing going, and watch a little TV. But, you know, now don't get me wrong. If I'd have got there and they'd have said, hey, you know, we got free tickets to the Celtics game, guess what?
Yeah. And it would have been okay. Because you'd have checked in with the wife, hey, we got free tickets, I'm going to the game, I'll call you when I get back.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes... Just like Rodney says, it's okay. But sometimes we think, well, I got to put my family first, so let me just go home and do the normal. But it's okay to get that space.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay, you know, to be, okay, a Tuesday night, I'm going out with the fellas from work.
Yep.
You know, out of the ordinary. I mean, that's just my take on it. I think that, you know, it's okay. I mean, Rodney, again, like I was saying, you can't miss what you've never had. So, and I appreciate the fact that this is your outlet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
but still,
brother.
But it's still controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It's a controlled outlet because
yeah.
you got permission from the wife. She knows mm-hmm. that you're talking to other men to get to be a better husband. So if this, I don't know if this really qualifies as that. You know, let me
just
get that release. Let me just get buck wild and, you know, fly off the handle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something that she may not be okay with is what I'm talking about. You know, ending up in Zanzibar or something like that.
You know what?
You know what? Go ahead, go ahead.
Check this out. Now. Yeah, I already said I ride bikes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it goes a little deeper than that because I'm part of a motorcycle club.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst ones in America to be a part of.
Okay.
I'm being real. I was the vice president of Rough Riders, of a Rough Rider chapter. So I get back here, and Rough Rider here is totally different from where I was. You know, you get here and these cats want to drink and then they want to get on their bikes and then they want to go out and do all kind of stuff. So it goes back to that maturity level.
Sure.
Of when you out there making the decisions that are right and knowing what the difference is between right and wrong. You know, because I get out there and them cats there, man, oh my goodness. You know, you get about 20 bikes pull up anywhere, and it's like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all about control also. Because no matter where you go, that situation can turn bad anywhere, at a Celtics game or whatever. But it's up to that individual to decide which way to run.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if it's something like that you like to do and something that you want to do
uh-huh.
and you've invited your wife and she's not
uh-huh.
in, she don't want to go, headache, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Do you say, okay, well, I'm not going to go, or do you still go?
Oh, I go.
I go.
At work, you know, at work, it's like the Christmas party. Well, my wife, she's gone with me a couple times, and she's like, I don't want to go, but if you want to go, you know, go ahead, have fun, and come back. And I know it's a couple times, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go show my face. I ain't going to stay too long, but show my face, network, then come on home.
Yep.
And it meant nothing to me because it was just a work Christmas party, so...
Yeah, you got to sometimes go, because you know what I'm seeing right now in my mind is that scene from The Best Man when Shelby was standing outside trying to get him not to go to the bachelor party with his boys.
Oh, and Lord.
Like, and he was like, oh, all right, and then he left. I mean, he went because she was trying to get him not to go because she didn't want him to be out there and have a good time.
Exactly.
She just wanted to control him and keep him at home while everybody else was out having a good time. Nothing got crazy, but she was trying to keep him from having it.
Let me give y'all a scenario. You would have went?
Yeah.
Now, I'll give y'all a real scenario. Now, I was in a wedding, and, you know, I was part of the wedding party, and, you know, all the fellas and all the wedding party, they were going to the strip club, and... You know, back then I felt it was my duty to make sure that I did everything as part of the wedding party. You know, because part of the wedding party, I have to go to the club or wherever the fellas want to go or want to hang. And my wife told me, she was pregnant at the time, and she was with me, but she was like, you ain't going. After you're done, you're going to come to the hotel room, and you ain't going.
Shelby.
Period.
Shelby.
And you know what I did? I went straight to, you know, after I was done, rehearsal, dinner, everything, I went straight to the room.
Mm.
Period. Mm.
Now, you told that story, why?
Yeah.
It's a give y'all some fodder for tonight. Just to give y'all some fodder for tonight.
You gave it, brother, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we'd have been saying, hey, pass the card.
Somebody told me once it's easier to beg for forgiveness than ask permission. And in a situation like that, I think I'd have just took the zero and then went forward. Because guess what? She's going to get over it.
Right, she'll get over it.
She'll get over it.
Maybe a week at the longest.
A week at the longest.
They just grind that out.
But if I recall, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this where the shoe was on the other foot.
Uh-huh.
Where we were saying, go ahead, go out, have fun with your girls.
Yeah, but if the shoe was on the other foot and she was part of the Browner Party and they were going to Ding-a-Lings or Us.
Yo, the Ding-a-Lings
or Us. I have that same authority. You ain't going. After you're done, you're going to come to the hotel room, period.
Okay, now listen. Then you got to ask yourself one question. On both ends of it, you got to ask yourself one question. Who did I marry? Did I marry someone that's going to get buck wild, the Ding-a-Lings are us, or did I marry someone that's going to be on their best behavior because they know they're married?
Exactly.
Oh, no, I ain't worried about her being on her best behavior. But she's not going.
So you didn't want to say?
She's not going.
You're a good one.
I ain't going, so you ain't going. Period.
Knock yourself out, and I just want you to remember that when my turn comes around, I'm going to knock myself out.
Exactly. And the other thing that Patrice was talking about was the girl who went to CIAA, right, Patrice?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, she went to CIAA. The wife went to CIAA and told the husband he couldn't go.
What?
Yeah.
This is the part I don't get it.
Yeah, and then when she got back, he said, okay, how was it? Yeah, it was great. He said, okay, next time I want to go. She said, no, I already got my room for next time, and you're not coming. So that was a whole big to-do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that right there is, to me, disrespect. And I don't think that we would do that to our wives. I think that if our wives wanted to go, even though maybe we didn't want them to go, we would probably still say, okay, come on.
Yeah, pass the seat because I got to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go, let's do it.
If you want to go, let's go. You're my wife. Let's roll.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. I'll be honest with you, and this is the way I look at it, too. Some of the things that I enjoy doing by myself or solo or whatever, let's say it is going to a strip club, whatever it may be, blah, blah, blah. If she wanted to go, This this might sound crazy, that would make it even better for me. Because honestly,
sure,
I would be there with somebody that I really enjoy the company of and would want to be there with anyway. And I'm not just the club is just one thing. But if it was happy hour, if it was the Knicks game, if it was anything,
yeah,
I would prefer to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never turn that down and be like, no, you can't go. This is just me, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's a little crazy.
But see, that's what I'm talking about, and that right there is the good thing, is that they can go because we would really prefer them to go, but a lot of times they're just not into what we're into, so we know that they may go, but they may go with a long face.
Right.
Do we stop doing things because we know they're not into what we into?
I cut that out a long time ago. I started out that crap, and then I just got frustrated and said, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I cut that out.
Because I see a lot of men going down that path.
If you got to cut things out, here's the thing. She knew who you were and the stuff that you enjoyed. Now, of course, you got to make better decisions, and you have to recognize who you can hang out with, how many times and frequency and what you're doing and the potential outcomes and the things that could go wrong. Yeah, you have to evaluate all of that. But the fact is that if you got to give up some of the stuff that you just enjoy, like my man said, he liked riding his bike. If he had to just definitively give up riding his bike, I mean, what in the world?
Not going to happen.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to, I mean,
it's
my bike.
Some part of the manhood you got to keep.
It's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, I already picked out the next bike.
He already got the route planned out that he's going to ride with the next bike.
I mean, but that brings up a good point. Does that also go with purchases? If you know, there's some things you want to buy that may not be in the family budget.
Yeah, like the NFL package.
Yes. NFL package.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you know, but then when
that's
you look at those, like you say that ultimate sacrifice, like I already said, okay, I'm getting ready to buy me a brand new motorcycle. Well, it's in the budget because I put it there. Just don't know when I'm going to get it, but it's going to get got because, you know, I already said, hey, in the next year or two, I'm buying a new bike.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. You know, and once it's been out there, and you know, come to an agreement. Okay, well, you know, you deserve it because you did your time in the military. So, whenever you're ready to get it, okay. But if we go, okay, well, right now at the time because of financial constraints,
for sure,
you have to use common sense then.
Yeah, then it would be irresponsible on your part to just go ahead and get
right.
it anyway.
That would be asking for trouble. You can't pay the light bill, but you can get a bring home a brand new car or bike.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. You pay tuition for school or something like that.
Well, I told you I was gonna buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good words. I got a monkey wrench.
I like monkey wrenches.
Yeah. This is definitely a monkey wrench. It may take us in a different direction, but I'm just gonna throw the question out there. What was your greatest pleasure in life, and who did it involve?
Greatest pleasure.
Now, we got to think, because I know we had some great pleasures. Maybe some of us had plenty.
Maybe I'm weird, but I would have to say my son was born.
Okay, good one. Anybody else?
That question one more time.
What's your greatest pleasure in life? What is, what was, just what's your greatest pleasure in life?
My greatest pleasure in life? Other than my wife, my kids.
No. I didn't say other than anybody. I just said what is it?
Oh, my kids.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd say my wife. The wife came for the kids.
Rodney, that
the
sounds
wife birthed
textbook.
The kids.
That sounds textbook. I am textbook.
Yeah, I have to give you something other than textbook, brother.
I understand,
you know,
I
am
but
textbook.
Sometimes you got to go outside the book.
You got to take that dirt road.
You got to take that dirt road, brother.
I mean, you know, with me, I have to say, like, two things. Like I said, one was the birth of my son, but the second one was, and this ain't cliches, it's because I was told it wouldn't happen, was when I stood on the top of Mount Fuji. All right, because I wasn't supposed to be, I'm not supposed to be walking today.
Okay, all right.
And I had a doctor tell me, don't ever expect to climb Mount Fuji, but I'm going to let you go to Japan because you can do your job.
Wow.
So just standing on the top of the mountain and looking over the top of the clouds and knowing I didn't make it there on my own was the most satisfying thing to me.
Wow. Good words. So that and then the children, but a few of us said kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now the flip side to that question is, what's your greatest pain in life?
My kid. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, because the things I do is for them.
Sure.
And what I don't want them to see is failure in their day.
Mm-hmm.
If that means anything to anybody. You know, mm-hmm. I want them to see me working hard. I want them to see me being respectful to their mama. I want them to see me paying these bills, doing this yard work. Because, you know, like my son, when I got a suit on, he got a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him on Sunday, he got a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm playing basketball, they there with me. If I'm out in the yard, Quentin's out there with me. You know, I feel like whatever I do is for them. It's for them and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a and if I do any wrong, I work hard hours, not only just because I won't. It's not like I want to. You know.
Gotcha.
But it's just showing them that you know this is what hard work brings.
So
and then he darn, I'm in school again. So I got President Obama project to help out Quentin with.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm going through school and everything again.
Yeah. Anybody else on the kids as the other
I'm right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got a 15-year-old going on 2, going on 20.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know.
You know, and the reason why they become that pain is because you have expectations.
Sure.
You know, as your kids get older, you got expectations for your kids. You know, I look at my son. My son got all the talent in the world. He's got more talent than I got in 2 legs, you know, with his ability in basketball. But to see him not put forth educational wise is really discouraging, especially when I look out and I know that we've already been stereotyped anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the average male lives to be 22, 23 at the most before he's either in jail or dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you want to see your kids go in the right direction, especially a young male.
And when they don't, it's extremely disappointing.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else on the kids? Because I'm right there with you. And the reason why I asked the question is because when I was doing the research earlier on these 2 questions, the polls all say kids.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest pleasure, kids. Greatest pain,
mm-hmm.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Rodney made a very important point. Even though it was the textbook answer, he said his wife. And what I'm trying to figure out is how come my greatest pleasure can't be with the one that I love the most? And they say that the one that you love the most can cause you the most pain. But why isn't that the wife? How did the kids get to supersede that? And that's how
because
I take on it. And it may just be me, but, you know.
Well, it's more or less because everything that you and your wife do becomes for the kids. So, like for me, when I'm feeling that pain of looking at the potential of my son and he's not getting there, my wife is seeing and feeling that same pain.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like,
sure.
You know, the feeling I'm feeling, she's already right there with me.
Yeah.
So no matter what we do, because no matter what we do for each other, that child is going to always be on the top of that ladder when it comes to both of our thought patterns. You know, hey, everything we're doing to make sure our children have a better life. You know, I want my child to have everything I didn't have and more. You know, every opportunity that I didn't have and more. That's where you, and the more you mature, you're going to connect in that thought pattern. It's not going to be about the family. It's going to be about the kids because you are working to love each other so that the kids can see what true love is all about.
Yeah, good words, good word. But on the flip side, well, what about the pleasure aspect of it?
Well, I think they both go hand in hand for the simple fact that you have, with your children, unlike your spouse, you're training, developing, and disciplining these children to go in a certain flow, certain direction in life, to be
mm-hmm.
successful, et cetera, et cetera. And then if they do not, it brings you a huge amount of pain. And if they do, it brings you a huge amount of pleasure. Mm-hmm. However, you don't train, you don't develop, and you don't discipline your wife to go in a certain direction. She is who she is.
Right. Okay. So it's a disciplinary thing, maybe. Somewhat.
You have, exactly, you have certain expectations based on the upbringing that you're giving them.
Gotcha. But again, here again, and trust me, I agree with all of that. But I would want, because, you're going to get what you're going to get from your kids. You really don't know. They don't promise you anything. They try to do what they can do. They try, if they retained half of what you tell them, I think that's a good day, because they're not going to retain it all. You know what I'm saying? But in reference to a marriage, shouldn't the marriage be the thing that gives you the greatest pleasure in your life today, I'm thinking, other than the kids?
I don't disagree.
I mean, is it that our wives may not be capable, and this is maybe a bold statement, of giving us the greatest pleasure in life, because they are who they are, just another human being of flesh and blood?
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's more or less that we, society has predestined that everything that you do has to be, you know, that enjoyable factor results from what the kids turn out to be. You know, as a husband and wife, we got certain expectations, but when it boils down to it, you know, you got that line that's there. I can't make my wife be who I want her to be, but I can lead my child into becoming a better man or a better woman. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
yeah, I
want to
train them up in that route.
Yeah, but you still can't make your child be the person that you want them to be, because they still got their own identity at the end of the day.
True.
But you can help them mold that identity.
That's the goal. Right. That's the goal. And the goal, I believe, that you have in having children, that you can have them be better than who you were.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but, you know, so I was giving you, since you were saying that's kind of the ongoing, I guess, answer is the children or the poll that you looked at when you were researching and stuff. And so that was the political answer on, you know, probably why individuals chose children. I would agree that the spouse should be the textbook, like you said with Rodney's answer, the textbook answer.
Yeah.
And because it should be, the pain is, not having them there. When you at work, that should be some level of pain. It might not be torture, but some level of pain where, you know, you can't wait to get home and be back in the arms again, sitting on, you know, the couch watching TV, or, you know, the ultimately, you know, being intimate with your spouse, is, you know, should be giving you the much pleasure. And when you're away from that individual, or you're fighting, you know, mentally, away from that individual because you're fighting, or, you know, one sleeping on the couch, or, you know, you're doing the whole silent treatment thing, that should bring you the most pain.
Thank you.
You know what's funny about that is when you first start out in a relationship, that is your greatest pleasure and your greatest pain. But you become desensitized as you go on because of disagreements, because of arguments, because of personality differences, that, you know, you start to focus on something else other than saying, okay, well, you know what, I can't please her all the time, so it is going to be what it is. You know, and I think that's why you hear the answer of my kids, because when we started out, it may have been the apple of that eye.
Mm-hmm.
But then you found out the apple couldn't stay the same way the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like you say,
before you got married, you did things for each other that after you got married just completely went, stopped.
That was brother.
And I had a little. Because you were trying to win her.
Yeah.
You're talking now.
You know, and after you got married, you ain't got to do it no more.
Got the pride.
Got hoodwinked.
Oh, he did not say hoodwinked. I mean, again, you know, I respect that because that's kind of what happens. And it's some kind of cosmical thing that happens because it changes. This person isn't the same person you were dating, period.
Right, right.
You know, and at the end of the day, you're like, but why aren't you? You know, and then it's just like, you know, you just imagine if you have a person that is all nice and now they're nasty. Now you're dealing with attitude. And you hear this a lot in marriages where you know the wife is mad. And some of the time she's mad about stuff that you have no idea why she's mad. Because in your mind you didn't do anything wrong. You're just going about your day as you normally do. You know, and then the question that, you know, that I ask is that who they are really? Or is it really something that I'm doing wrong? Or is it that they just don't like the current situation that you're in? You know, if you're the kind of person that is messy, you know, you can come home and try to clean up, but you're going to make a mess again because you're a messy person. You know, but we get to the point where your wife gets mad, she gets angry, you're coming home, you're dealing with attitude, because we all talk about it. Some guys say, well, you got to drive around the block before they get in because they don't want to deal with the attitude, you know. But is that the person that they were always, or is that what marriage did to them?
I believe that's what marriage did to them. And I think it's because of that confinement. That you're together so much. You're together so much where you have nothing to do but to express your emotions. You don't have any me time to go and release that stress. Like I said, you know, my stress level was fishing. You know, when you're out there quiet on the road, somebody might be golfing or somebody might be reading a book, going to Borders by themselves or something. It's just the way you're getting rid of that. So when they come back home, those internal stress from the kids and the wife nagging and, you know, all those other problems, you can kind of release that for that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we got away from that. So you end up bringing more drama in because you're trying to fix a problem that you shouldn't even be trying to fix because it's something real small.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Please do.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I think my greatest pleasure was the fact that I changed my life and gave it to Christ, man. That was one of my greatest pleasures, right?
Yeah.
And my greatest pain was the fact that that I got out of the nonsense that I was in when I was in all of the wrong relationship, messing with married people and all kinds of nonsense that was heading down a path of destruction. So to have the ability to change my life and to say that I'm walking more upright so I could be the right person for my children was the best part.
Great to learn, bro.
Yeah. And thanks for the melting pot, fellas.
My man.
You're good. Good word.
Yeah. Rodney, anything? On it?
No, I'm good. Yeah.
You're good?
Yes.
So, about being uncomfortable, I want to touch on that just a little bit, because I know sometimes you have to be uncomfortable in a marriage, even though you don't want to be, but sometimes you have to compromise to the point where it's keeping the peace. And I think sometimes we have to learn to pick and choose our arguments. In life,
yeah.
But also in a marriage, you know, man. But should we? Should we have to be uncomfortable?
Yeah, and I've been actually thinking about this for a while, and it actually goes back to what we say on this show over and over and over again. And I think that we forget it sometimes that the fact that they are the weaker vessel.
Okay.
And I say that because, just like you said, Mr. Host, that sometimes we're uncomfortable, we do things that we don't like or whatever, and we just roll with the punches or whatever. But then we want them to do the same thing, knowing that they are the weaker vessel. So it's like an oxymoronic statement to say, well, I want you to just suck it up and be uncomfortable like me, even though I know you're the weaker vessel. I don't know if y'all understand what I'm trying to say with that. I think it's wanting them to attain some level, almost, you know, equivalent to our level, when we already know that they're not capable of that. They'll never be capable of that. They'll never be capable of being uncomfortable the way that we're uncomfortable, or as many times as we're uncomfortable, because they are the weaker vessel. I don't know if that makes any sense to y'all.
I think I kind of get what you're going. I think I kind of understand what you're saying in reference to the way we're built and the way they're built.
Yes.
And we're already programmed. Just like you, you're programmed to think schedule, budget, family first before Rodney.
Yes.
Which is good. Which is good because that takes discipline. A lot of people don't have that discipline. A lot of people are like, yeah, well, you know, I already know that all that stuff is in place, but tonight I want to go do something else.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you may be able to, and, you know, I'm just trying to break down what you said. You may be able to have that strength to handle that type of obligation, and she may not.
Right. Exactly.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Anybody else? Okay, cool. So the weaker vessel part, and we all know that because, you know, it's the word. But
yeah.
Why is there also a constant competition in the household? And what I mean by the competition is, why is it that we also, some of the times we have to revisit the things that we do versus the things that they do? Why do we have to sometimes justify what we do on a daily basis, if you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, yeah, well, I go to work too, and I pay the bills, and I do this. And she says, well, I got to take care of the kids, and I got to do this, and I got, and we've got to figure out who did the most.
Mm.
You know, because a friend of mine said that the other day. He said, you know, when he's always justifying what he does. As a husband, he always has to, you know, point out that he does do these things because, you know, he gets accused of not doing anything.
Well, he has to answer that question. He has to answer that because he's probably not doing as much as she thinks he should do anyway. So
right.
You're right, but isn't that the case in most houses?
Yeah, but
well,
yeah.
There's a difference, though, in their eyes. You know, us going to work and paying bills is what we do, but what are we doing to help them out is what they're looking at.
There you go.
You know, and I kind of reversed the roles on my wife because she would always say, well, you're not doing this, you don't do that, you don't do this. Okay, fine. You know, when I fired that lawnmower on Saturday morning, you know, now... She, as a matter of fact, you know, my back was bothering me for a couple of days, and she went out in the yard and decided she was going to de-weed the flower bed. Now, this is something that I always do, and I always get out there in the yard, cut the grass, and de-weed the flower bed. Well, after 2 days out there messing with the flower bed, she came back and goes, man, that is a job. I said, but remember, I don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I will never say that again.
And you cut the grass on top of that, on top of the deep weeds.
Oh, yeah.
And fellas, when I say the backyard in the house I'm renting it is humongous, it takes me 4 hours to cut the backyard.
Wow, that's crazy.
You walking it?
Yeah, I got six more.
Yeah, man.
You know, some of the dirt too soft to support a ride lawnmower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, plus just couldn't afford one.
I understand.
Yeah, look, I understand, but that walking.
That walking. And now I see why that back is hurting.
Right, exactly.
And please don't have a little hill with it.
Yeah.
Nah, it's all flat. Yeah. I'm lucky. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, once they step in and you all share the same load, in other words, if she washed the dishes, you put them away. If she cleaned up the table, take out the trash. You know, once you share that load, then there's nowhere where that individual can go, well, I do this more than you do, because you're right there helping them out. And then when you go on the outside, you know, if she's out there helping you out, then you got to acknowledge, hey, thanks for your help. And that'll erase that line of justification that's needed.
And yeah, then, I think that's...
I probably never should be there anyway. That's my opinion. You shouldn't really have a line there. You know, you shouldn't be keeping no record of wrong.
Right.
If love is love, love shouldn't keep any record of wrong or what you're doing. And I got 8 things here that I didn't did on Monday. What did you do on Tuesday? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that you got a big problem. Not you in particular, but I mean that individual has a big problem in their household if that's kind of taking place.
You're trying to say love don't score.
Keep
them scoring. I'll say too that you know, literally, I mean, that's what we do. You know, you find it in the workplace, and I've said it on here before. You know, how many times do you tell somebody at work that they did a good job or they did it right or thank you? You know, we're so quick to criticize, you know, generally speaking, as humans in general, male and female, that we rarely say, you know what, man, thanks for de-weeding. You know, you didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do more of that, you know, because it's easy to say, you know what, you didn't take out the trash. Or, you know, you didn't clean this bathtub, or whatever the case may be. You cooked, but you ain't washed the dishes. You know, and, you know, that's my thing is, like, you know, I cook on the weekends, but I don't get around to cleaning up the kitchen. You know, it may be late. You know, it may not be, you know, we cook, we eat, and the dishes are, you know, being put in the dishwasher or whatever. I may just leave them, but that's just not how I do it. But I get it done, and I'm – go ahead.
What you saying? You're driving down my street now.
And, you know, Rodney,
I see your halogen lights.
Yeah, because I can cook. And Rodney, I don't know about you, but I can cook, you know, with pots in the sink, you know, whereas my wife, the kitchen has to be spotless before she starts to cook. You know, and granted, you know, I'm being sanitary, you know, with my stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm cooking with dirty pots or, you know, with not sanitizing the countertops or whatever like that. I'm being clean, but it's not spotless before I, you know, get my chef on. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm just like, all right, you know, I'm going to cook. Let me sit on down, you know, because cooking is, you know, you got to, let me just sit down for a minute and or an hour or two. And the dishes just sit until I get around to them. No, the kitchen will not be spotless until I feel like getting around to it. Give me some time.
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys a funny. Now, well, I mean, this is a good point, man. My wife, she hopped on one thing for a long time, and I basically ignored her because she had pissed me off for real, right? So I was in the mindset like, you know, hey, there's some things you're not doing for me, so I'm just doing the same in return for you in my mind, but not telling her this, right? But I know she's big on appearance of things, you know what I mean? And you know, we had our home built like 7 years ago, and just so happened that where the Palladium window is, the wood had been deteriorating to the point, man, that when I decided to fix it, it literally fell off in my hand. Okay. So when I decided to fix it, now this is a funny. I was on a ladder fixing it. She came out the door when I was fixing it. And I was putting all the new stuff in. She said, "You look sexy. I think we might have some things going on this evening." I said, "Oh, this is excuse me."
All you had to do is put your tool belt on, bro.
That's crazy.
What though? It just goes to show you, we just need to pay attention to the small things or the things that they say sometimes that we take it for granted. And that thing that we take for granted is normally the thing that causes all of the other reactions to other things, man.
But that's how it works.
That's what I found out. All that one small thing caused major reactions, and it made everything seem like it was out of sorts because of that one issue.
That's definitely good words. I think that's that. I think acts of service, right, Rodney?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Act of service, then.
Yes, sir. I just find that kind of interesting, man. That's all.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I think we get that. I think that we are smart enough to know what, you know, how to get a guaranteed night of fun.
Yes, sir.
Is to do some chores.
Yeah, and that is true.
I think that's a guarantee. As long as you don't start doing those chores too late. But
right.
During the day you start doing those chores, I think it's a guaranteed night of fun. And that's...
Oh, question. And this hit me in my head with another one, man. That, I mean, it really threw me off balance, right? Because she knows how I am about bills. And she's the type of person that sometimes have a tendency to forget to pay a bill or two. You come home and the telephone off, and you're like, why the telephone off? You know, and I'm like, so you know. So
how the car being towed.
Yeah. Exactly. What, you know, I mean, she literally forgot to pay the insurance. And I got a letter in the mail saying that we had lapsed in our insurance. I said, huh? And then I asked her about it. She said, you know, I don't think I did. And then she went back and then she realized that she did. But then she came off to me and said, you know what, Brian? She said, you're better at handling bills than I am. But she's always done bills.
Mm-hmm.
So she just laid it all in my lap because of my questioning.
There you go.
But guess what? I can handle that. But I don't think she can handle the fact that how I came at her with the same type of thing she came at me with, you know, as far as when you need to do something, why are you not doing it, you know? And now I got to pay a fine for something unnecessarily, you know?
That's right.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're still the man of the house, and we are. So, the way I see it, it's still going to be our responsibility, even if they didn't pay it. I mean,
right.
We can delegate as good as we think that we are, delegator. But it's still, you know, to us, well, how come it's not paid?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you.
Might as well do like Rodney and just take over the bills.
Right. That, man, this pushed me to a whole different level when she said that to me because, see, what that did, it opens the doors in my life that I didn't want to, that I didn't want to open. You know what I mean? Because everything she does is online. And I'm not computer. So now I get to that place where I have to do it that way, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. There may be something for you online.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know. Yeah, but you made a good point about taking it over, and you know, I'll say that example in reverse. You know, I always get my girls ready for bed, you know, 7 days a week. You know, that's what I do. But like a night like tonight, I ain't home. You know, she has to get them ready for bed or whatever. And usually when she does it, their trash can is overflowing. I mean, it's literally over. They might have stuff on the floor. You know, it's overflowing. You know, and I don't take the trash out. I'm too lazy to walk downstairs. You know, Lord forgive me. But instead of recognizing and acknowledging the fact that I get them ready for bed 7 days out of the week, you know, occasionally she'll make the comment, you know, can you take this trash out? You know, why is every time I come in here, this trash is overflowing? And I'm just like...
It's like what?
Yeah, I'm just like... I mean, and like you said, Mr. Host, maybe that's what you should do. You know, maybe I, you know, get that bath.
No,
maybe you should take out that trash. You know, when you in here, just take it on out. Don't even look at me.
Yeah.
Because you know I ain't good for taking it out. And just, you know, that's what you do when you in here. Just go ahead and pick it up and just go ahead and handle it.
Well, you know, I applaud that brother, too, because she laid on his lap and he went and did it. You know, that's something to, you know, that you can, I can respect that because, you know, at the end of the day, you're the man of the house and, you know, you're doing, am I echoing? A little bit.
No, you're good.
Okay. You know, he's the man of the house, and it's not that you should be doing everything, obviously, but at the same time, knowing that you can do and kind of living with that type of mindset as the man of the house, saying I can do. Okay, so I'm not going to say, well, you know, this ain't my area, this should be you or something like that. Hey, if it's in this house, then I believe I can tackle it. I can handle it. Nobody else going to do it, I'm going to tackle it. If I need to take out the trash, I'll take out the trash. If I need to de-weed the flower bed, then I'm going to de-weed the flower bed. Now, should I have to do all of that by myself? Absolutely not. You know, she's my helpmate, right? But I should have some help. But nonetheless, if I don't get the help, that shouldn't negate me being able to do it.
That's right.
So I
all I
can
say
for that.
Is thank God for kids.
Kids old enough to do it.
Child labor.
My oldest is old enough to do that.
But doesn't that go back to, like, what we were talking about earlier when we were single and we didn't need anybody to do these things? Like, you had to do it because you were the only one there. So you had to do it. So we know how to do it.
Right.
You know, when you're single, you got to take the trash out. Even more so because you might have a girl coming over. You know what I mean? You got to have that house clean. I mean, if you dating.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet you had the dishes clean, Rodney, when you was dating once.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have the dishes clean. You gotta have the sheets clean. You gotta have the bed, everything, man. The pots clean, everything.
Right.
You know, but now we're married. We're like, huh? What is that? I don't do that. That's not my job. You know, I know sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it.
Right, but how hard is that? I mean, you walk around the house. Now, she could have had a hard, you know, I don't know if everyone's wives are working or whatever, but she could have a hard day at work, a hard week at work or whatever. You see some dust, you know, hanging from the chandelier and the lights or on the TV or something like that. How hard is it to pick up the Swiffer and go over, you know, come on.
Right.
We'll see it. We'll see it, and we'll go right on upstairs.
Mind our
own business.
You're right, and you know what? I am a hypocrite. Just as you said that right now, I am a full blown hypocrite.
I was talking to myself.
Well, listen. I've got like right now I'm in the basement, and I walk up the steps, and we got carpet on the steps, and I see the same dog hair and the same dust ball, and it's been there for like a month. You know, and I'm like, you know, and I come down here, but the kids come down here too, right? And I'm like, don't y'all see that? How do y'all, you know, I'm like, how do y'all see this every day and don't get to it? But I'm the same person that sees it too and don't get
right.
to it.
So does that really make you a hypocrite? Because I do the same thing, man. I mean, I see stuff on the floor. I see stuff on the carpet. And I see something somewhere, and then I leave it there purposely just to see if anybody else notices it, right? And then the fun part about it is that I clean better than my wife and anybody in the house. You see what I'm saying? So really, it has that much more of an effect on me because when I do decide to clean up the house, you know, I do it well and I make sure it's done to a sign. But when I see somebody else leave something around, and then they just get in their laziness because they know that I'm good at doing something. And I'm just going to leave it there because I know that's what you do. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question, brother, because I was, or at least thought I was like that too. Like when I see some things laying, I said, you know what, I'm going to see how long these lazy folks in this house are going to trample or, you know, just walk over, step over this or not do this and not do that. And after a while, I started saying, well, you know what, I think half of me says that's my motive for doing it. Mm-hmm. I think the other half of me was saying, I don't want to pick it up either.
is that they always throw stuff at you in your face, but yet in the same sense, they can see something that they know that's out of place and not right, but yet they harp on you about the things that affects them that's not right. But then they'll bypass the other things, and then when you say something about it, it's an issue.
Oh, yeah, they're going to try to turn right back on you.
There you go.
Well, you think, why do you ain't get it up?
There you go. That's just their mechanism to say that, you know, I didn't want to get it either.
Yeah, but, you know, we talk a lot about being head of our households and man of the house, you know, and when it comes to a situation like what Rodney was talking about earlier where, you know, he's out of town mm-hmm. you know, and now his wife's got to put the kids to sleep or something needs to be changed with the trash. Do we lay the rule, just lay it down, and here's the new rule as head of the household. From now on, this is what has to be done. Or do we try to diplomatically, you know, talk it out and schedule it and, you know, hash it out in a nice way?
I'm from the school of Hetty Eckerman, the old school. On Saturday mornings, ain't nobody sleeping. We end up and have to get busy. If you want anything done, I mean, and that's how I do my kids. Sometimes I expect the wife to be the, you know, the team lead and go behind them and make sure that they're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and I don't have that in my house, and that's probably why I got so much drama with getting stuff done. And I might need to do what you did. I mean, I work Saturday, so I wouldn't be able to do that. But, you know, this guy and we go to church on Sunday, so I don't know when to do it. And I wouldn't want to delegate something and leave because that wouldn't be right either, you know. But I think I got to figure out a way to get, you know, get just delegate some responsibilities up in this joint.
Yeah, you could just change the day. You just do it on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, in the summer while, you know, the kids are, you know, not in school. I have a clean house during the summer. When they get back to school, it's a wrap. You know, that's a good idea.
I mean, that was just a discipline that we were brought up on. I mean, we don't do that to our kids now. I mean, we don't even do that to our wives. I think we have now involved ourselves in so much stuff outside of the home that you have these discrepancies, you know, inside the home when it comes to cleaning, who's going to do what and how long. Because right now, when I come in the house, I work so long, I drop my clothes wherever I am just so I can get comfortable. Mm. When I used to go up and get out, walk right up the steps and hang the suit right up.
Yeah.
So some of it is my fault because you just want to feel lazy because you just had such a hard day. And so you become more independent and we're like, well, I'll just get it later.
Yeah, good words, good words. And I'm definitely with you on that, you know. And again, when you live that way, you know, I think you open up doors for them to say what they do versus what you do. You know what I mean? Because then you're like, yeah, well, I've been at work all day. That's why I'm leaving my clothes right here. Then they say, well, I've been at work and I've been home taking care of the kids, the house, and everything else. So it could be, a back and forth thing after something like that happens, I think.
It happens to me all the time.
But about being comfortable, I'm going to talk about being comfortable. We talked about being uncomfortable. I'm going to talk about being comfortable. I'm talking about your wife being comfortable. How does she get so comfortable that she can say anything she wants out of her mouth to you? And you're the man of the house. Just like we talked about the wife that said to her husband, I'm going to CIAA and you're not coming. How does that happen?
Because we can't play Harpo no more.
We can't play Harpo.
I don't know how that happens, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, but it happens. It happens. I mean, certain things happen where you may get into a little dispute and she may say something totally disrespectful and out of left field. And you're like, how do we get to this place in our marriage?
Hey, this is Bino.
Hey.
Bino. What's up, fellas? Man, y'all got to put me up to date. I just got off to work and just clicked on just now. So catch me up with what's happening here.
Well, we've been around the block three times.
That's a good way to put it.
We've been around the block three times. We stopping on your street. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
We talking about disrespectful wives and women or whatever the case may be.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And maybe you got something to add to that. Maybe you don't. But
you just had to. What's the last question, T?
Well, last question was, you know, how do they get so comfortable where they can just say anything out of their mouth to you?
You know what I mean? And whether it be disrespectful or just inappropriate, you know, but just anything, things that they shouldn't say, you know. And I gave the example about the wife that told her husband that she was going to CIAA for the weekend and he was not allowed to go. You know, so we're right on that level.
Wow.
You know, and the topic is loving her is killing me. So, you know,
wouldn't you think? And any of the brothers can chime in, but wouldn't you think that that has grown to a level of tolerance? You know, if a brother, I think, allows certain things in there in the beginning, and it festers, it grows, and it becomes even more extravagant or more in left field or right field, wherever way you want to be. But I think wouldn't they feel more and more comfortable with doing it?
He stole those words from me.
You mean like he's developed the talent of being a pushover?
He's been trained.
Yeah, you can say it like that, because that's true. Yep. That's what it was, man. She got comfortable, and then what he did just grew open sore, because I mean she got more and more comfortable. He kept letting it happen, so each time she just keep adding more to that, because his tolerance level just keep going because he keeps accepting it.
Yeah, but isn't that dangerous though? I mean, can't that be dangerous?
Oh, it's extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. Yes, yes. But that falls back on the brother though. The brother for letting that happen, not on her. It falls back on him.
I was on the phone with a new dude talking about that, right? And he was talking about some things that happened with his dad and some things that brought him to that place that he became a non-confrontational person.
Sure.
And he became a non-confrontational person, meaning that he didn't want to create drama. And then another thing is that when some of us guys get in the place where women are breadwinners or actually homeowners before we marry them and we move in with them, and then we feel as if we don't have the say-so that we had once before. The say-so, because we're not on the title. So you're careful about what you say, you know. And then you just feel like you've been, you know, just a sucker in the relationship, man, you know.
But that's a bad place to be, man.
Ooh, that's a terrible place.
Because you can't come back from that.
That's right.
Well, yes, you can. You can? Okay, let's talk about it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put my mouth. I'm not on a married level, so it's two different levels here.
You've been there.
You can't come back.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell me how, because you've been there, you know.
You just get to a point where you say that this, you know, you know, either you're going to fix this thing now or you ain't going to fix it. And if you ain't going to fix it, I got to go. I got to bounce on this one because I got to make sure that I'm happy. I only got one life.
That's right.
But now it's a different level now when you're married now. See, and I think the preacher just preached about that this Sunday, is that we need a lot more men to step up to the plate. Now, if your thing is going like that in life and you married, you just have to deal with that, because you didn't marry this woman. You married God when you said I do. So you got to say, okay, well, look, it's like it is, but I got to hang in here with this one. I just got to keep tolerating it, but it's got to get better. And you got to keep trying to drill. You got to pray to save your family today. And we need more men to step up to the plate to do these things.
Got
to
be a game plan, though.
Got
to
be a game plan.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah, it's not going to just get better, but I'm saying that you got to be the man to step up to the plate, you know, because a lot of times the women ain't going to do that. And when they get to the point where they feel like they can just keep doing what they're going to do and blah, 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 and you allowing it, then you're just leaving a wound open, and you really need to pray even more, because you can't go nowhere. You are in shackles there. You are bonded through the word that you gave to God that you was going to take care of this woman and keep her forever. So you cannot run away from this thing.
Look, I will say from my marriage that my wife knows, because we've learned each other, obviously. So, you know, if she knows she's coming close to the line, I have expressions that she pick up on real quick, because she knows that. And this isn't to say, you know, that I'm violent or abusive in any way, because I'm not. But
She knows everyone has a line, and but some women will push that line because we allow them to push it. But if the line is drawn in the sand and say, don't you dare cross that right there. It's all fun and games until you cross that line right there. But it's not just on my side though. So my wife got some spice in her. She's got some spice in her, and I also know her expression.
Okay.
And she makes sure she puts the line down too and says, "Hey, now don't be no fool about this one. You know, we ain't going all the way there. So make sure before you say anything out your mouth at this point, because maybe we're disagreeing on something. Before you go, think about what you're about to say." And that works both ways in our house. And you know, we don't cross lines. We don't go in that direction because we both know each other well enough to know that's not a safe place to be on that side of the line.
No, it's a bad place to be in, man.
That's a bad place to be.
Yeah, terrible place, man. Yeah.
That's a bad place to be.
And life is not meant to be like that.
No. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we obviously are a lot happier by not pushing those limits. But like everyone was saying, I think a couple of comments, that if you allow that to be pushed each time that it happens, it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse, to the point where that brother is going to be verbally abused by his spouse, and maybe eventually become physically abusive to her.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think what y'all are saying, just to recap, is essentially if she's gotten to the point where she crossed that line where her perception is loving him is killing me.
Right.
You know, just flip it around. I mean, loving this guy is killing me. You know, just
right.
Putting the topic in reverse this evening.
Yeah.
You know, what if she would just say that? I mean, that's the only way
right.
to get to that point. You know, this guy. I mean, he's killing you.
Yeah, I mean, it could either be that, or it could be just that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Right. That's true, too.
They're used to having their way. They're used to saying whatever they want to say. They're used to, you know, that's their way of solving issues. That's their way of getting what they want.
True.
You know, and a lot of times you can't see that going in. You don't see it. I mean, you may see, just like Rodney said, his wife's got some spice. My wife's got some spice, too. You know how you had that hot sauce that's red? Well, you know that green stuff? Below the red. She's that green hot sauce. That blow the red hot sauce away, you know. And sometimes I find myself having to leave the room, you know, because it's like, okay, you know, you ain't have to say that. You know, and it may be something simple, but just that tongue is deadly. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, it's just something real smart and slick, real quick. And you catch it, and you're like, okay, I don't know why she just said that. But, you know, you make the choice to either sit there and deal with it, or you go somewhere else just to regain your control. And that's what I've learned to do, to sit back and think before I react, which I got from this call too, by the way. But, you know, but some women, that's just their personality, just who they are.
Okay.
And they haven't figured out that, you know, you're married. You can't just be straight ghetto fabulous up in this joint.
And I think it comes along with the different breed of women today, man, and their independence and how they've been doing things for themselves. And then this brother had to be a recent marriage or new marriage or something, because a lot of times that brand, it was new.
Brand, not even a year. Probably
okay.
Just a year.
See, this is what I'm saying. You marry somebody that's been independent and that's been doing their own thing, and then you enter into this relationship, and in their mindset anyway, even before they got married, they didn't need no man anyway, okay?
Sure.
So you know, there's a whole different agenda when you go into it, you know? I mean,
but that goes back to what the brother said earlier, is because the men are not stepping up. That's why
exactly.
They have to take on that, you know, it's almost like a manly role where they're like, I can do, you know, myself, I don't need you, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's where the attitude comes from, is because, you know, the guys are not stepping up.
Right about that.
Right about that.
Yeah.
So for those independent ones like that, I'm not trying to be funny or say something out of the way, but for all of the women that have that mindset, man, I'm gonna take up a new profession and start selling D batteries.
Yeah. And I think you make a good point. And I think you make a good point where it's the women of today with the lip. Because I don't really remember my father having to deal with too much of that.
No, sir.
You know, he said what he said, and that was the end of it.
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? There was no mom was in the kitchen. There was no, she said it was under her breath, and nobody heard it.
Hey, you know what? Not trying to be funny, but that mentality is still there. It's just a matter of when you hit that level where enough is enough and you ain't going to deal with it no more, they recognize that.
Yeah,
when
well, yeah.
they recognize it, they step back.
Well, and some of them are waiting for that and saying, well, it's about time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, where you been yeah. at? I've been looking for you.
That's right.
About time you done came out of it.
You hit that level, and they start beating on their chest, talking about, ooh, Mandingo.
Right, now let's go to the bedroom. It's about time. Now you're ready.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, and again, I know that, like Roddy was just saying, you know, you have to show, we have to step up to the plate and show that we're, you know, on top of our game and all that good stuff. But sometimes it's got to be verbal, too. Sometimes you got to put them in their place, verbally.
Make a decision. Women hate a man that can't make a decision.
Make a decision. Be like, nah, you ain't going to talk to me like that up in here. You know what I mean? Or however you want to put it across, you're going to have some bass in your voice and let them know it's not that kind of party.
Right.
You know, you got some women be like, go ahead and hit me. Go ahead, I'm just waiting for you to hit me. You know, that's that 2011 woman. Just wanted to get you so she can call me.
Hey,
right.
Hey, you know what I got to say that one, right? You know, back when The Color Purple came out, you didn't hear all that.
No.
nobody talking about,
they know Harpo.
Don't. You told Harpo to beat me.
Yeah. Because all them brothers was trying to be Mr. back then.
Yeah. but you know, the laws weren't in place then like they were now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Back then, you know, I think there's a law in some state where you can beat your wife legally as long as it's on the courthouse steps.
Texas.
Is that Texas?
Texas.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Look, it's in Texas.
On the courthouse step. Did you say
there is still a law on the books in Texas that you can legally divorce your wife if she grows two times the size that she was when you married.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
So if she was 100 pounds when you married her and she getting a little further.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's still on the books.
Yeah, see, that gives a whole new meaning to, you know, loving you is killing me when she gets when she doubles up like that. You know what I'm saying? When she just doubles up, you're like, wait a minute, hold on a second. I mean, it alters everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but wow. Well, you know, it's right around 11 o'clock, fellas, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the call tonight. I think that we all came to agree that we got to be the man of the house, regardless.
Regardless. Got to step up these days, fellas, all of us, man, whether we want to realize it or not. Everybody got to step up to the plate and just be a man these days, you know, and man up, especially in your marriage. You have to, you know, to make it work.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, and in order to even get a woman up front, for those who are single still on the phone, or you know, divorced and maybe seeking to get married again, you know, in order to even get a good woman, you're gonna have to man up.
Absolutely.
Because if not, you're gonna be left. You know, you left with the dregs of the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely, I agree with that, Rod, 100%. Yep. That's what it's going to take, though. That right there. You know, that is the key. And you won't never find yourself until you find yourself. It sounds kind of backwards, but it means a lot. You won't never find yourself and really what you really mean to life, let alone a woman, until you find yourself.
That's right. You have got to know where you are in life.
I think Rodney made a point to me one time. He came and visited me here in Florida, and Rodney sat in my living room, and he told me, he says, you know, until you know who you are, you'll settle for anything. But once you know who you are, you won't want nothing but the best in life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good words.
Yeah.
Those are good words.
Yeah.
And the hell with settling for anything.
Especially if you know
you bringing something to the table.
To the table. Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you find yourself, man, you won't never want nothing but the best in life.
Exactly. And especially with a marriage. You know, a lot of times we get married for whatever reason.
You know, T-Hawk, just real quick, while I got you on the phone, it was a lady in Washington. I don't need to bring up any names. I don't even think y'all know them anyway. But the lady in Washington that I just spoke to, not recently, just recently, and she bought something up that I checked her right in the spot. And she said that as long as someone has your back, they should be able to say anything they want out of their mouth. Because you should always look back and say, well, that person always got my back. And I told her, I said, that mentality ain't going to get you nowhere in life. Because you'll never
find. No, it won't.
I said, good luck finding a man like that.
Right.
Because I don't care if you hand him $1,000 every time he need it. If you don't, you can never go and talk to a man any kind of way once a man know who he is. That money don't mean nothing then.
No.
Or anything you do. It don't have to be financial. But anything you do for somebody, you can never feel like because I do something for you and I help you in a time of need that I can say anything out my mouth that I want to say. I checked her right off.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's mentality. That's where women. It's a lot of women that think that's where it is today. They think, you know, they got a little power that long as they there for you when you need them, that they can be able to do whatever they want, and that ain't happening. At least not in this lifetime for me, it ain't.
Wow.
That's deep, ain't it?
That is deep.
Yeah.
That is deep.
And maybe if I had stayed in the same shoes that I was wearing in the past, because I've had troubles in my past, maybe if I had stayed in my same shoes and had a mentality like that, maybe, like Rodney said, you would handle it. You would accept that. But once you find out who you are, you say, ho, you definitely, you're gonna fill out the call in your head. Because this ain't happening. That ain't happening. Matter of fact, I don't even need nothing from you. That's how you're going to look at them.
That's right.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
When you talk like that, because that's just straight crazy. You know, I don't even know where you can get a mentality to even say something like that out your mouth.
Yeah.
Nick, that ain't working. That'll never work.
And look, at any cost, you got to still remain a man at any cost.
You got to be a man.
Absolutely. And the way... The way I was saying that was that if you don't know who you are, then the devil will convince you to be whoever he wants you to be.
Wow.
There you go, Rob. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's why you got, you know, the whole homosexuality thing and all that, you know, stuff popping out the closet and all that stuff going on, because they don't know who they are. They don't know they're a king. They don't know they're a man. And if you don't know you a man in your house, then you're not going to be the man of your house.
Mm.
Can I ask you a question on that note?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my question to you on that note is, okay, Lucifer was in heaven, right? Devil, you said, right? And they kicked him out. So when they kicked him out, did that mean it was a vacancy?
I think that position was discontinued.
No, it wasn't. It was a vacancy in heaven. But check this out: what did God create us for? He created us for praise and what? Worship, right?
For sure.
And that was his job when he was in heaven. Guess what? He pissed at us because we took his job. That's why he's trying to kill us.
Well, I would say that vacancy would mean a lack, right?
Vacancy means absence. So
what God did,
he created us to give him praise and worship. So he said, Satan's job was I mean, Lucifer's job was a minister of music, and he was over praise and worship. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he said to Jesus, "I'll give you this if you do what? Bow down and do what? Worship me."
Worship, right.
And so he said, "You should only worship the Lord thy God and Him alone, right? So you worship, period." So the point I'm trying to make is that when he takes them out, God put us in his place as worship and praises. Because he said he inhabits the praises of his people. So he inhabits our praises. So what I'm saying is that vacancy was filled by his people, which is us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Satan's job right now is to destroy us because we took his job.
Okay.
I just had to say that, man.
Well, I understand. You know, and it's the time for it. But again,
yeah,
you know, you still have to remain, even if you're in a situation, because you talked about earlier, living with a woman in her house.
Oh, yeah.
Your name isn't on the deed, on the lease, or nothing. You
That's
still
right.
have to remain the
That's
man.
Exactly right. That's exactly
in that,
right.
In that situation. You cannot be, you know, any less than that because,
right.
you know, at the drop of a dime, you know, you may be looking for another place to live or you may be being dictated to.
Sure. I was in that situation before, but I didn't allow that person to dictate anything to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was the man in the house. It was my wife at the time, you know, but what happened was the reason my name wasn't on the deed is because during that time, my credit was like zero. It was like all nines, you
Got
know.
You.
So basically I contributed, right, but my name wasn't there, so at any time she could have said, "Hey, you got to go."
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, but it wasn't happening, Doc.
And that's in all aspects, really. I mean, because even if the courts, you know, more or less call you a deadbeat father or if the mother ain't playing, you know, ball right, so to speak, that still doesn't negate that you're the father of those children, and you still
right.
have to act like a father, regardless on how crazy the mama want to act.
That's right.
You know, and in that marriage, the same principle apply. Whether or not this is what I was saying about the love going tit for tat and counting up the cost, keeping score, or whatever the case is, regardless on what that woman is doing, you still a husband, and you still have to do what the husband's supposed to do. That's not predicated upon whether she does what the wife is supposed to do or not. You got to man up and do it.
You can say that again.
Yes, sir. That's why I applauded the brother, if that was the brother who spoke, the brother earlier, that when the wife says, "You know what, I don't want to do this anymore, here you go," then she has every right to do that. We don't have
right.
the right to do that to her.
No, we don't.
We don't. We honestly don't, because she's the help. She's the help me. She's not primary. We're primary.
Yeah.
So if she don't want to, it really falls on us, whether we want it to or not.
That's right.
And you know what? That might be one of the most important lessons that I've learned on these calls, that right there, is that probably is the most important one that I've learned, is that no matter what, at the end of the day, it's still our job, period.
You know that's right.
At the end of the day, it don't matter if she comes home and does nothing. Still our job. Again, we can delegate all we want.
Right.
You know, we can say, well, the kids were supposed to do it and this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Just like at your job, if you're the supervisor, you can say, well, my subordinates didn't. I'm not. It's your job to handle that.
Right.
You're the supervisor. You're the manager. Don't tell me about what somebody else didn't do.
Right.
That's why I hired you.
Right.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. If something didn't happen on my job, and the executive director called me, and I'm the supervisor, right? And I'm the executive director called me and asked me what happened. He wanted me. I guess they were waiting for me to criticize my people. But what I had told him was, I said, you know what? First and foremost, I wasn't there on time. So I mean, I said I wasn't there. So
right.
I couldn't expect anything from them any different than what I showed myself.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, they were my exact words. I think he was expecting me to give him a song and a dance, but he gave me big respect because I told him the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's the same thing in a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, my wife didn't pay the bill. Yeah, my wife didn't pay the light bill. But guess
you
what? You still ain't got no lights.
That's right. You got to pay it.
So it don't matter who didn't pay it. You still ain't got no lights.
There you go.
All right.
You know?
Responsibility, man. You know,
and we quick to say, yeah, well, I go to work and make the money. Okay, well, how come you have no lights?
Right.
No. That's the truth.
Good words, good words. Well, if anybody else has got anything on this topic, loving her is killing me, I'm going to throw this train right into open mic.
Good words.
Anybody got anything else?
Oh.
Oh, all right. Hold on a second.
Mic it up.